One, two.
Oh, you've got the anointing. All right, then. You can come. Fine. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In a moment, I'm going to get you to ask the person next to you a very personal question. So if there's no one next to you, you need to go and budge up against somebody. You do. And he still sits there. I'm going to ask you to ask the person next to you a very personal question. So if you don't know who's sitting next to you, now's a good time to say hello. Now's a good time to... Now's a good time to get to know their name. Don't be ashamed. Just say, hi, what's your name? How have you been? You know? What have you been doing this week? You can ask them, what's the highlight of your week? Just something to kind of get comfortable with them. Because in a minute, they're going to be asking you the most personal question that you've ever been asked. Okay. So are you all good friends? You've all become good friends. You're now acquaintances. Okay, now ask them, when was the last time you had a heart checkup? A heart check. When was it? See, people don't even know what that is. Like, you go to a GP and you're like, is my heart okay? You guys are like, a what? You've never had a heart check? You didn't hear me. That's fantastic. A heart checkup. The last time you had your heart checked. Who's doing what now? As a GP, as in a doctor, as in seen a doctor and... Huh? You're not too yet. Amen. Okay. So Chima, if you go to the next slide and then play, press it again.
Most of the time, your heart isn't really something that you think about. It goes about its job as you go about yours. But taking the time to listen to your heart can give you insight into your health. Measuring your resting heart rate can give you a good idea of how strong and efficient your heart is. A strong heart can contract with more force and therefore not have to beat as often. A weak heart can't get much out with each beat and therefore must beat more often. The average resting heart rate for a healthy adult is between 60 and 100 beats. However, the lower, the better. To find out yours, measure it before you get out of bed in the morning, when you are most restful. Find your pulse and count the beats for 15 seconds, then multiply that number by 4. The best way to strengthen up your heart is, of course, the best way to stay healthy. Since your heart is a muscle, it responds to exercise as any other muscle would, by getting bigger and stronger.
Amen. So we're going to do that this morning. Aren't you glad that we don't just take care of your physical health, we actually take care of your spiritual... Did I say... At least you guys are listening, right? Amen. So, have you... Yeah. So like he said... You need to check your pulse, okay? So I'm going to show you, I've been taught this, so hopefully I get this right. Your wrist, just over there, if you put two fingers just underneath your wrist, and the doctors in the house can correct me, with your two fingers, just in that recess. If you can't feel a pulse, we've got doctors in the house, and we'll pray for you. Can you all feel, have you all found your pulse? Yeah. Can you feel it pulsing? We have to lay hands. You can't find your pulse. We have to get a doctor. You see those two tendons there? It's just there. Well, we'll have to pray for some people. Okay. For those of us that have a pulse. So what's going to happen? I'm going to click the counter. It's going to count down from 20. When it gets to 15... You start counting how many pulses, how many beats in 15 seconds. For you, it might be 15, 20, you count. And then we multiply that by 4 to find your BPM, your beat per minute. Okay? And by God's grace, it should be between 60 and 100. That means you're healthy. If it's way below, you're probably asleep. And somebody needs to wake you up. If it's way above 100, again, you need to see a doctor. Okay, so we ready? The countdown is going to go. When it gets to 15, you start counting. So, got our pulse. If you click it. Okay. So, get ready to start counting. When it hits 15, you start counting. Okay, so you should have a number. Now multiply that number by 4. Now your best friend that's sitting next to you, you can whisper to them what your heart rate is. Very personal, we're getting personal this morning. You can whisper what your heart rate is, whether it's between 60 and 100 or if it's over. Wow. Amen. We'll come back to that in a second. Perfect. Amen. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 13. And before I start, I'll just ask Lord God that you bless your word in us richly. Father God, give us ears to hear and give us hearts to receive your word. And let your word bear fruit in our lives to the blessing of ourselves and to others and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 15. Some of you might know this as the parable of the sower, but I like the caption that said it's not actually the story of the parable of the sower, because actually the sower only gets mentioned once, and Jesus doesn't even reference the sower after that point. But what he does reference is the soil. So it should be called the parable of the soil, really. But here it is, and we've got it up there so you can read along. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that they got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places. It did not have much soil there. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then a while later, the disciples came up to him and they said, dude, why do you, well, they probably didn't say dude, but why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you and not to them. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. What is this secret? We know that Jesus talked more about the kingdom than he talked about anything else. It was the one thing that he talked about over and over and over again. And so we should have a good understanding of kingdom, how to get in it, what is it, when is it coming, is it here, who's the king, what are the rules of this kingdom. But then Jesus says, actually, there's secrets. There's secrets to this kingdom. If I read further, so if we go to the next slide. When the disciples asked him, he actually gave a fuller explanation. This is what he said. He said, whoever is given, I think he needs to go back one. Is that the one? Oh, no, am I in the wrong place then? I should know my own sermon, right? Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And then it says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. There's a connection between understanding and the heart. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 6, because there God was saying, there's a heart condition, a callousness of heart that stops people being able to see, hear, receive, and understand the kingdom. And so that's why we started with a heart check. Because just as your physical heart affects you physically, your spiritual heart also affects you and how you process, receive, perceive, understand, and grow in the kingdom. One more passage, and then I'll dig in. But then Jesus doesn't just leave the disciples wondering about what is the secret. He then begins to expand on it. And he tells them the secret. This is the secret. This is the meaning of the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. How many times has he said understanding now? A few times. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that is sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and receives it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble comes, persecution, because of the word, they fall away. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word and makes it unfruitful. So the thing is there, the word is there, but it's just unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Jesus is talking about four states of people's hearts. And I believe that everyone can fit into one of those four categories. The state of our hearts fit into one of those four categories. Everyone here, everyone in the world. Jesus is saying the word of God comes, the word of the kingdom comes, and there are four types of people, four types of heart disease, for want of a better word. And he gives the diagnosis. The first one that he gives is the seed that lands on a pathway. Is the seed, so can I have the next slide if that's all right? The seed that's on the pathway. There we go, the birds. And that's the picture that Jesus gives. The seed gets scattered, lands on the pathway, and the birds steal the word. Everyone in life, naturally, everyone in life is on a pathway. Life itself is a pathway. Life is a journey. I'm going to generalize a little bit. But the pathway of life is something like that. You're born, hopefully, into a loving family. By the time you get to the age of four, you should be in a school, hopefully a good school, four or five. And then you are on an education pathway where the majority of your time, the majority of your waking hours is spent being schooled, being educated, being taught. And the focus of that pathway is for you to get good grades, for you to get your GCSEs so that you can get to the next level of that pathway. And that can be the focus. After that, you do your A-levels. And again, I'm generalizing. People have different pathways. And then you might be on to university where another pathway opens up, career. And there you're thinking about your dissertation, your thesis, what you're going to do. You might meet somebody. You might decide to have a family together. And then your focus becomes family. You might have children, buy a house, and then mortgage. And then your pathway, what's your focus then is maintaining your home, maintaining your house, paying the bills, hoping that you get a better job promotion, that you don't lose your job, and hoping that your children are doing well at school. Now, I am generalizing because there are other pathways. Some people want to be famous artists or famous singers or famous musicians or whatever. And again, they give it their all. They're dedicated to. And there is nothing wrong with that. The problem is some people are so focused on that pathway, they miss the seeds of the kingdom when it comes across their path. They don't have time to hear it. They don't have time to slow down, to receive it. Never mind understanding it. Yes, school is good. Education is good. We must become productive members of society, stable members of society. But sometimes it can be so busy, such a rush, that even though the message of the kingdom is constantly being thrown across our path, we walk straight past it and the birds of the air just pick it away. Completely miss it. People are too busy to pay attention to the message of the kingdom. And then the next one is the seed that lands on the rocky places, you know? And Jesus says, actually, what happens is it springs up really quickly. So you see someone, you think, wow, that guy's full of the joy of the Lord. They're in church, they're getting involved, they're doing it. Praise God, hallelujah. But the thing that Jesus says is the soil is shallow, and that's why the plant grew up quickly. Why is that? Because actually, if the soil was deeper, it would take longer for the roots to go down, to then become secure to anchor the plant, and then to spread broadly to begin drawing in nutrients that would strengthen the growth of that plant. But because the soil is shallow, the root gets that far and thinks, well, I might as well get to work. And then the plant grows up. And so you think, wow, look at that guy, motoring away. But when the sun comes out, when trials come because of faith, when contention comes out in the world, when you have to stand and defend the Bible and the thing that you believe, when you have to look uncool, when all the cool kids are over there, you think, ah, actually, I don't know if this is too much for me. And they quickly wilt away. How's your heart rate doing right now? I measured my heart rate at home. It was 80. I was quite chilled. Now I calculated, it's gone up to 120. Doctor, is there a doctor in the house? Because they said the natural thing is between 60 and 100. I think I'm just excited. I'm always excited when I preach the word of God, amen. And then the next seed is that which grows on thorny ground. I think you're going to have to skip two because I've done my heart rate. So you have to skip that one. I'm not measuring it again. I measured it. It's 120. And actually, the thorny ground is where I want us to kind of base camp a little bit. Because I think this is the one that speaks to most of us. And actually, I think this is the one that a lot of us find a struggle with. Praise God, we're not on a path. You're here, you're listening to the word of God. So you've got off that pathway where career and stuff is, you know. And I believe that there's a depth to your faith. I've seen you guys worship. The Holy Spirit has come to be amongst you. So there is a depth to your faith. But it's this one. This is the one that chokes the word that is already there. And this is the one that I really want us to focus on for the next 10, 15 minutes. This is what Jesus said about it. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So the thing is there. The word is there. The plant is there, but it's unfruitful. Why? The first thing that Jesus mentions is seed, but before he mentions worries and cares and the deceitfulness of wealth, he mentions thorns. He mentions thorns. Now, Jesus is talking about the condition of heart. So here he's talking about someone whose heart has been surrounded by thorns. Question is, how? Where did these thorns come from? Why are there thorns there? Why have they grown so much that they now eclipse the word of the kingdom? What do these thorns represent in the heart of people? Unfortunately, a lot of times, those hurts that we experience, a lot of times, the pain that we go through in life, many times the bitterness that comes our way. Sometimes we have dreams and hopes and things that we believed for that didn't quite come to pass. Sometimes we get so disappointed by people that we trusted. Sometimes we get disappointed with God because God said and we're still looking for the answer. Sometimes we have wounds that just run more deep than people realize. Wounds that are still bleeding. Sometimes people are just broken. And as there's a turning in the emotion, thorns start to grow and they rub against the heart, and it starts to cause a callousness, a thickening, a hardening. And so even though the word of God is there, it's so hard for that word to flourish. It's so hard to receive a message of forgiveness and loving your brother when somebody has hurt you deeply. It's so hard to see the fruit of that when someone has cut you. When there is bitterness in the heart and pastors preaching, the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you know that if you've experienced wound and true, it's really hard to find rejoicing in that moment? If there's someone that has disappointed you because you're expecting something and your hopes have been crushed, and then we say, the peace of God that passes all understanding is your portion in the name of Jesus. How many of you know that sometimes you're like, I'm just not in that place? It's so hard for the fruitfulness of the word of God, the message of the kingdom, to flourish and bear fruit. And like I said, this is the one that if we're honest, we think, my heart is being strangled by a bush of thorns. And there are many, many, I can give many examples. But when Jesus talked about the worries of life, yes, he meant worrying about our children or worrying about our job and worrying if we can pay the mortgage and the bills. And yes, he was talking about that. But that word worry, it's a more distress, a distress that gets people and hooks them and they just can't shake free. It's so hard when there's wounds, when there's hurt. It's so hard to resolve it. It's so hard to forgive. It's so hard to move on. It is. It just is. And we need to own that. We don't need to pretend that, oh, it's easy. You don't need to pretend that. We need to own it because we can honestly come before the Holy Spirit and say, this is me. And I need you, Holy Spirit, to be my doctor. Men have this thing. I don't know, I'm generalizing. Let me say it's me. I can't generalize because you guys are probably better guys than me that just don't go to a doctor until we have to drag ourselves to the doctor because nothing's working anymore. The Holy Spirit is our doctor this morning, and we don't have to wait to drag ourselves into him. He's our healer. And only if we're honest in his presence with an open heart and truthfully say, Lord, this thing is still there. I don't know how to get past it. I don't know how. It's still there. So, Holy Spirit, I need you. Because if you don't do something, but we have to be honest when we come about it. Fruitfulness. The thorns bear fruit, unfortunately. And so what you can find sometimes in people that are struggling with this, struggling whether it's with resentment or wounds that haven't healed, sometimes you find that instead of the fruits of love and joy and peace and kindness and patience, it's very hard if you've been let down and hurt to be patient with people. What fruit you then bear is a short-temperedness. Instead of being gentle with people sometimes, you find that you're just prickly and cantankerous and abrasive. Sometimes that's a manifestation that actually your heart is being squeezed by thorns. And the wrong fruit, the fruit of the thorns, is what is being manifested as opposed to the fruit of the kingdom. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, kindness, self-control. Now, I just have to mention the other side of that coin. When Jesus talks about the deceitfulness of wealth. You see, these two things go hand in hand. Because when disappointment comes, we start looking at the what ifs, what could have been, should have been, would have been. We start looking for the if only this, if only that, if only whatever. When we get disappointed and we are loaded with regrets, we wish we were somewhere else. We wish we were something else. We wish we had something else. If only I was richer. If only I had a different house. If only my family was different. If only I had more money or I went to that university. If only I was born in America. Actually, not that, because I might have been shot by now by the police. I'm happy where I was born. Hallelujah. Do you know what I mean? Praise God. I was born in Nigeria, and I'll take that any day. Hallelujah. But that's the deceitfulness of wealth, the American dream. If only I had this, if I was more handsome, and if I looked like that, then I would be satisfied. Then I would be fulfilled. Then I would be happy. If only this thing didn't happen to me, and if only I was over there. Whatever that thing is that you're chasing beyond the horizon, that is not what will give you the fulfillment. That is not what's going to give you that depth of joy and peace that you need. Chasing for the end of the rainbow, whatever that might be, the only thing that will satisfy and fulfill and bring you that healing is a relationship, deep, deep relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the life. That is the life eternal that starts now. That is the hope and the truth. That is what brings freedom. So the deceitfulness of wealth, what Jesus is saying, why is it deceitful? Because you really do believe that if only you had that thing, your life would be okay. That's a deception. The thing that you need more of is the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the doctor that can heal the heart. And sometimes when you see a doctor, you need to visit them again. And they'll book a further appointment. And they'll book another appointment. That's a good thing. So when you encounter the Holy Spirit, it's not a one-off appointment. You come back for a regular checkup. The thing about the Holy Spirit, you don't have to book an appointment, and you can see him every single day. Every single day. So you can go to the doctor every day and say, "Doctor, it's still there. I need more medication." In his case, the medication, well, I'll come to that in the end. It's not actually a tablet, okay? But the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth. And then he talks about the good soil. The good soil. The good soil is where we all want to be. The good soil is that place where the word of God, the love of God, the flow of the Spirit just happens freely. There is growth. There's fruitfulness. There's abundance. People around us are getting blessed because we love them. Our kindness and generosity is overflowing. We're moving in the things of the Spirit, having a word for you and a word for you, being led by the Spirit of God. That is where the Holy Spirit wants to take us, to a fruitful land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land or a heart that flows with milk and honey, that flows with rivers of living water. But for our hearts to get there, we need to go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I need a heart check because I've got some thorns." So those three examples, we don't want to be there. We don't want to be in a place where we're too busy in life, we haven't got time for the Word of God. We don't want to be shallow. Now, if the sum total of your Christian experience and your Christian spirituality is 90 minutes on a Sunday morning, I need to tell you, that's not deep enough. Your spirituality won't survive first contact. It won't survive first contact with the world out there. Because that place, they'll give you a run for your money on what you believe and whether you stand for Jesus or not. You need depth. And that depth comes by feeding on the Word of God, spending time in His presence, worshiping. Good soil, I'll say this, and then we'll come to a time of communion and prayer and really coming before the foot of the Holy Spirit. What classifies good soil? What makes good soil good? There are a few things, but the three key things. One, it has access to light. Good soil needs light. When anyone doesn't want weeds to grow on a patch of ground, do you know what they do? How they prevent those weeds from growing? They cover it up with mulch, or they get something dark, like a black carpet, and they cover it up. Nothing grows if light is not getting through that soil. We need light. You also need water. Without water, plants don't grow. And you need nutrients. How does this refer to the heart? Well, you need light. We live in God's light. We live in God's truth. It is in God's light that we see light. It is in God's light that we see ourselves and have a true appraisal of who we are and what we are. And we must live by His light. We can't substitute that for anything else. We need water. If you're not seeking to spend time with the Holy Spirit day in, day out, meeting with the doctor, it will be hard for things to grow in your life because He's the one that... Rivers of living water. It's talking about the Holy Spirit flowing out of you. You've got to be meeting with the Holy Spirit. nutrients. You've got to have that time when you're feeding off the Word of God, studying it. I haven't been able to touch on the understanding part of what Jesus said. He said, they don't have understanding. He said it over and over and over again. If you're not reading and studying and seeking God through His Word, you won't get the understanding of Him and His Word. One last thing I'll say about the nutrients in good soil. There's another key component of good soil. And there's the bugs, the worms, the termites, the ants. You see, all those organisms are what naturally fertilize the soil. Now look at your best buddy, because they are the organisms that help you to be naturally fertilized. Our faith is not supposed to be lived in isolation. We need each other. When we hurt, we need somebody that can pray with us. We need somebody that we can say, look, I'm hurting. When we try and struggle in isolation, it just doesn't work. Because those emotional and mental burdens, we're never supposed to take it on our own. We are supposed to be there for each other. We are supposed to be a loving community that just wants to support and uphold each other. Because if you have experienced wounding, if you've experienced bitterness, if you've experienced how hard it is to get past that, by God's grace, you don't want that on anybody else. By God's grace, you want to be the one that helped somebody else get through that because you know what that feels like. I'm going to ask if the band can come up. We're going to have communion. But before we do, I just want us to have a moment of silence. The Holy Spirit is here. I want us to have a moment of silence, and I want us to just come before Him and say, Lord, this is me. This is me. Before we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, He said, examine ourselves. That's what Paul said. Examine yourself. Heart check. That's what he was saying. Have a heart check. And we come under God's light to say, God, I need you. I so need you because of the stuff that's going on in my heart. I need you because I can't. I've been wrestling with this so long and I just can't seem to get past it. You're my healer. You're my doctor. You know the wounds. You know the scars that I bear. I've got nowhere else to go for healing and for restoration but to you. So will you come and meet me? And the Holy Spirit says yes. Jesus says that's why I died, so that you'll always be in my presence. That's why I shed my blood, so that nothing will separate you from me. That's why I'm your comforter. That's why I welcome you and I say, come before the throne of grace anytime. The door is always open. Come and cry upon my arms. Come and shout, let it all out. God can take it. Say what you want to say. Lord God, why? Lord God, how? He can take it. He just wants you to be in His presence with your joy, but with your sorrow. He wants you to be in His presence with your fullness and with your brokenness. He wants you to be in His presence with your full confidence and your lack of. He still wants you to come. Even though you haven't got the answers, even though the healing hasn't manifested, He still wants you to come. Even though the wound is still bleeding, He still wants you to come. So we're going to play this song, and it's just going to play quietly. Rachel's going to sing it. But you guys, just receive. Just receive. And as Rachel sings this song, there are three things that I want us to do.
The Father's arms are open wide. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
The service could come forward, please. Three things I want you to just begin to pray for, because there's none of us that's exempt from it. The first is the acknowledgement before God, unfortunately, that we also have hurt people. We need to own that we also have said things and done things that have deeply wounded people. Unless you're a more holy person than I, which I don't deny. So we do need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I've hurt. I'm sorry if I'm the cause of someone's bleeding heart. I'm sorry if I'm the cause that now someone is struggling with bitterness. We have to come before the throne and the cross and say, Lord, would you forgive me where I've said and done things that were unkind? Would you forgive me when knowingly or unknowingly I've been stubborn and too stubborn to say I'm sorry? Too stubborn to go back and give someone a hug? Forgive me for not recognizing how deeply that can cut someone. So we need to hold our hands up before the throne, come before his light and see ourselves in his light and take ownership and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And if there is somebody that you know, before the Lord God, you say, Lord, give me the grace to go to them and say, I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, give me the grace to extend a hand and say, can we reconcile? Give me the strength, because it's not easy. You don't want to do it. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. Ask him for that grace, the strength, and the opportunity. So before we come to the Lord, yes, we need to repent. Yes, we need to say we're sorry. Yes, we need to own our part. For those of us who have been hurt and are still holding on, those of us who have been wounded and are still stinging, first we need to release that person. You know the person, you know the situation. You need to release them. That is the root of the thorn. And unless you release it, that thorn will continue to grow. It's so not easy. It's such a hard thing to do. And that's why the Holy Spirit is here, to enable you to release and forgive and let go. And when those thorns try to grow again, you put a black blanket over it so it receives no light, it receives no air, it receives no nutrients, and it dies. But unless you release the situation, release the person, release the thing, that root of that thorn. So you need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need the strength for this. I need the enabling for this. Forgive me that I've held on to it so long. Forgive me that I've been so stubborn not to let it go. But now I surrender it to you, Lord. I come before the altar to lay it down. And before we take communion, we need to hold the Lord to his word that he will heal. Oh, Jesus, that by his stripes we obtain healing for our wounded hearts, for our broken emotions. Lord God, you said if we come before you, we would be healed. And so in surrender, we come to obtain our healing, that our wounded hearts would be healed before you, that our broken emotions would be restored, Almighty God, that our mental state and our anxieties and our worries, O God, will be dissolved and healed in your presence, and we would be set free and delivered from worry and fear and from bitterness and all the things that come, Lord God, to choke and strangle our faith and our joy and our hope in you and our freedom, Almighty God. And in the name of Jesus, we declare it this day. In the name of Jesus, we come before the throne. We come under the blood of the covenant that has broken every sin, defeated every enemy, and has given us the victory. We come standing on the finished work of Jesus Christ. We come knowing that our God, who has said it, is faithful to do it. We know, Jesus, that you are here. You bled and died for our salvation, for our redemption, and yes, for our deliverance. And so, God, we'll take refuge under your everlasting arms. So, Holy Spirit, we would look to find you, because you are our peace. You are our healing. You are our life and the length of our days.